Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it just to make sure you're always getting that Going In Raw content. I forgot to hit record on the camera.
Whoops.
Here we go. There we go.
There we go.
Now it's the perfect podcast.
Yeah.
When we submit our podcast for Emmy consideration, don't send this episode in, okay?
All right.
Send in like another one where I don't have to.
I don't think they give an Emmy for podcasts.
We got to do another quick intro. Hey, friendo, right. Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw. Man, yeah. So we're available on
YouTube.
YouTube and podcast apps. And if you're on a podcast app listening to this, if you're not doing anything else, like if you're not driving, take a second, leave us a rating or a review.
Yes,
it
please.
Really helps boost the profile of the show.
It really does.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/GoingInRaw. Guess what, Larson? Ooh, look
new
at the magic
shirts.
Finger.
New shirt.
Look at the magic finger. I've loaded up a new graphic.
New shirt.
Look at this. I'm very excited about one of these, and I'm mildly excited about the other one, too. Look at that. Available now. Look at that look at the I Find It Funny shirt.
Yeah.
I find it funny nobody would want to buy this shirt. Look at that. It's got skull. It's got golden shuffles on it. It has my catchphrase, I find it funny. It's not really his catchphrase.
No, it's not his catchphrase.
But he says it all the time.
We've adopted that as his catchphrase.
We have. And then people always ask me, what does the Latin mean on the like there in the subset there? One of them, I think, means game face, which is, you know, like H face.
Yeah.
And then the other one means golden shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Or golden shuffle, I forget which, or golden shovel.
Yeah.
I forget which one. Anyways, they're available right now at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Yes.
There is, now I will say this because I love you all. There is usually a WrestleMania sale. So that would be like 2 to 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually it's like a week long. And it's like 15 to 20% off. We have no confirmation that's going to happen this year.
No confirmation.
But I would not be offended if anybody just waited for that sale.
Yeah, in fact, we would advise you just to wait.
We would kind of recommend it because it's saving you some money. So there you go. There's those shirts. I find it funny. I was really hyped about that design, though.
I know.
Because I think it's a worthy successor to the Slow Wolf shirt.
I was sitting in the airport on a Friday morning, I guess it was, or Friday afternoon, whatever it was. No, Friday morning, and you text me, hey, I think I got... Essentially, you were saying, like, the greatest shirt design I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I said, you emailed it to me, sorry. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
There it is right there. I find it funny.
Yeah.
I can tell. A skull.
I can tell when you're really proud of something because you just bother me about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I never did. I didn't bother you about the other one. The other one I just put up and I was like, whatever. I just want a new shirt up. But I like it. I think it's good. It's got colors on it. It's cute. It's kind of cartoonish.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, it's good. I like it. Buy it.
It's bright. It grabs the eye.
Exactly. You know, walking down the streets. Oh,
it's hard.
Like Steven Larson?
It's hard to ignore a shirt that's got pink, green,
right?
Teal, blue, plus our dumb faces.
Plus our dumb faces on it. And we're in the right order, too. You're on that side. I'm on this side.
Yeah.
So people like that. But yeah, that golden shuffle one is great. I'm very, you know, I don't brag very often.
Toot your own horn.
I don't blow smoke up my own ass. So anyways.
You can be happy with the work. What's wrong with that? Is this going to be the thing today?
Yeah, this is for that the 2012 versus 2018 meme. Like 2012, I had my site now. Like this.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's just a stupid Twitter thing. Anyways.
I'm off Twitter for an entire weekend pretty much, and I come back, and that's what's going on. Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan's back. Let's talk about something that's actually exciting.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, man.
This is super exciting. SmackDown was... fire last night,
man. It was
a
good show.
It was fire last night.
You can take Daniel Bryan stuff out of it. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was a better show than it has been. Yeah, for sure.
Decent matches.
Mm-hmm.
Gave matches, especially Natalya versus
Charlotte. Oh, wow. That was fantastic.
That was like a pay-per-view quality match.
Yeah.
They gave it a ton of time.
That was really good.
All in all, a really fun show. But, of course, well, there's something wrong with them. We can't record on there anyway. So,
hey, man.
Hope for the best.
Hey, okay. We're just doing it then. That's fine.
We'll see what happens. Anyways, but the centerpiece of the show was Daniel Bryan saying to everybody,
yeah,
He can wrestle again.
He's back
in WWE. Baby. So he comes out. He opens the show. Actually, the show opens with a pretty well done and heartfelt video package showing the intercutting the highs and lows of Daniel Bryan's WWE career thus far.
Yes.
So we see him win at WrestleMania 30. We see him win the world title even before that, intercut that with his retirement speech.
Yeah.
So we are live in the American Airlines Arena in Dallas, Texas. Daniel Bryan's theme hits. Crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
You could tell when you stand there atop of the ramp, it's like, man, I've been waiting 2 years.
This feels so
waiting
good.
Waiting 2+ years to be in this position.
And
again,
everybody at home just feels it with him. Mm-hmm. It was a very special
moment.
It was
a magical.
It was seriously
15 minutes.
A special, special moment.
Yeah.
To know that somebody who for 2 years has been denied and with so much frustration. So he goes down there and he starts talking about that. You know, I had to retire from in-ring competition. And, you know, it was like the idea of somebody's like just soul being ripped out of their body is what he had to go
for. And he talked about how he approached it initially was just by being grateful, appreciating that he had the opportunity to do that what he had done. He mentioned that in his retirement speech that he was grateful for having the career he had up to that point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as we saw in Total Bellas, it devastated him that he was forced to retire.
We covered a little bit of the Total Bellas the first season, and it was one of the more depressing things to watch because you could tell, like, with all the shenanigans with Johnny Ace and how silly John Cena was and the Bellas and all that.
And JJ.
Oh, my favorite. How
well, then
I forget
it's like
JJ?
So much, like, all, a lot of that stuff, you know, I'm not saying it was scripted, but, you know, they were.
Oh, it definitely had, yeah, no.
You know, like the
it was the reality show scripted.
Yes.
You know.
And then kind of running parallel to that was this seemingly very genuine story of Daniel Bryan coming to grips with the fact that his in-ring career was probably over and him battling with that.
And you got to see also how kind of, and it makes me wonder if they learned a lesson from it with how they're dealing with Paige right now, how kind of, I don't want to say callous, but it felt kind of callous.
Well, they were exploiting.
They just said, show up and retire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the show, they were definitely exploiting his pain to promote the show because they would advertise the following episode with, you know, like some talk between he and Brie, and then he, you know, go to their room and didn't want to be on camera and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was one thing. That's one thing. But I was talking about when they literally called him and said, hey, you need to show up to SmackDown and retire. Or Raw. That's horrible.
I know.
You know, to me, that was always like, oh, my God. Like, at that point, it really just sort of registered how it's like, okay, well, this guy, how kind of cold things are,
yeah.
You know? It's like, well, they're just contractors, and it's just a show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going to pop ratings this week by crushing this man's dreams.
Yeah.
That's really how it felt.
I know, and it felt the same on Total Bellas, too, where they're advertising, you know, the latest saga of Daniel Bryan's mental breakdown on the show. It's like, here, watch Daniel Bryan lose his mind because he can't do what he wants to do.
It is kind of interesting how we've never...
Oh, sorry, because he's forced to out of the ring. Sorry, yeah.
We've never really heard his... Because he's been very open about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
He seems very transparent in his interviews and whatnot. And I've never heard him say anything about the idea that did come off as very exploitative, you know?
I think he kind of touched on that in Total
Bellas. Did he? Okay.
I thought so.
Okay.
I mean, that was the first time on that where I heard that it wasn't, you know, a mutual thing, or wasn't the doctor advising him to retire and he came to the decision himself. It was on there. He said, no, I got a call from Vince and he said, you're going to show up at Seattle on this day and you're going to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, he comes down there and I mean, it's fun to talk about crap stuff when you know there's a happy ending here.
Yeah.
He comes down and you know, he got choked up several times. Thank God nobody in the arena decided to what him.
I know. It was incredibly heartfelt.
It was. And people, you know, it's funny when something is that heartfelt, you just hope that the crowd's not going to be assholes.
I know.
And thank goodness they weren't.
I know.
Nobody did that because there were ample opportunities. Like, you know, he had a lot of pauses
because
you're starting to choke up and you really, he really got over the fact that Brie was the one driving him to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of the general thesis of his promo, was
fight for your dreams.
Fight for your dreams. Don't let them die.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they will fight for you, which mm-hmm. is a great way to put it. It mm-hmm. was a magnificent, magnificent promo.
Yeah.
And just,
I mean, Daniel Bryan was already the most relatable wrestler in WWE. This just magnified that.
Exactly.
A hundredfold.
Exactly. So it was, I mean, it really has to be seen to be believed, or to be appreciated. And he said, I've been cleared. I don't know when or where my return will be.
And the crowd started chanting WrestleMania.
And he looks up at the sign, and it's the most organic way of looking at the sign. Wasn't somebody coming down?
Pointing at it, yeah.
Pointing at it. It wasn't any of that.
Because the crowd chants for a little bit. He kind of cracks a little bit of a smile and looks at the sign and says, you guys think that'll work?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. They cheer. And he goes, but I can guarantee will Daniel Bryan return to in-ring competition? Starts doing the yes, yeah. yes chant, every chance yes.
I thought it was perfect. I thought it was yeah. absolutely perfect. So I guess we can kind of address this now. Therathabata in our chat, and then somebody else on Twitter, and I apologize for forgetting who you are. My notifications, I just can't. Pose the question, given what happened at the end of the show, and I'm assuming everybody watching this knows that Daniel Bryan got the shit beat out of him at the end of the show,
mm-hmm.
which we'll go into detail about that. But since we're talking about his promo, would the end of SmackDown have been more effective had we not known that he had been cleared?
I don't know if it'd been more effective, it would have been more shocking.
It definitely, yeah, I don't think there's...
But I think if it hadn't been announced that he had been cleared in advance, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to do the promo he did to open the show. And I kind of feel like maybe for him that was necessary.
Yeah.
Like he needed the opportunity to go out
okay.
there
yeah.
and... express himself, thank his wife, thank the WWE, because he said, you know, I want to thank WWE because they looked at me first as a person, not as a performer.
Yeah.
And there's obviously, you know, a message he wanted to share with the WWE.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I hadn't even thought about that.
And had he not been cleared in advance, he would not have been able to do that. He would have been beat up at the end and then have been banged right into the story.
Yeah.
And maybe after Mania, if they could kind of go back and say, okay, you've got through this, you can now be officially cleared. You're back to being an in-ring competitor. He could have had the opportunity. But I think him doing it to open the show before he saw any action just probably made that more effective.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they hadn't announced him being cleared beforehand, that beatdown at the end would be the most shocking thing on WWE television in a very long
time. Because then everybody would be buzzing about, oh my God. I mean, here's the thing. Number one, it's a no-brainer to have announced it in advance because of the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Do we know what the... Have we
haven't
heard. Okay. Those have to pop.
Yeah, I would think so.
So that's kind of a no-brainer. What you said is correct. Had we not known in advance, and he didn't give that tearful promo at the beginning, and he just got destroyed at the end, it would have been shocking, and we would have been buzzing, and we would have been like, come to the conclusion, obviously he's been cleared.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I do think that given the heartfelt speech at the beginning and how emotional that made everybody, and given that everybody's emotions were ramped up,
mm-hmm.
I think it might be like a zero sum game. I think that the shock factor would have been one thing, but I think the emotional high that everybody had anyways,
yeah.
I think emotionally speaking, probably would have been on the same level as that shock. You know, it's just a different emotion.
Just a different thing.
So would it have been shocking? Absolutely. That would have been, everybody had been buzzing about that and would have been like, oh my God, yeah, he's been cleared. But that being said, I think the shock.
Oh God. Roman Reigns legitimately dislocates the jaw of one of the U.S. Marshals on Raw from Fightful.com.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
I'm looking through a news site trying to find rating news.
Ouch. Anyways. But I think here's the thing though. I think the shock that I felt over just how much they threw him back into the deep end was pretty shocking.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
And on top of that, you additionally get this is the weirdest thing, that you get to experience the joy of somebody getting his ass beat. You know, he was so happy to be just taking those power bombs
mm-hmm.
and the kicks
mm-hmm.
and to dole out those amazing jump kicks of his, the drop kicks, were fantastic. And then to see him get his ass laid out and knowing that he was so probably euphoric in that moment, not just to get his ass beat, but that it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, two guys who he legitimately has, you know, came up with and you know,
well, as you said,
known
end,
for 14 years.
Known for 15 years, whatever it was, yeah.
So I think that aspect of things, understanding that, you know, not dealing with the shock of the moment and understanding that, oh, he's that he really is back and all that kind of stuff, I think that's also emotional high, too. So I think it's just a different thing, but I think it's pretty fantastic.
Jack Dolan here in chat raises an interesting point, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Jack, he says, or Kevin Owens powerbombs Owen and doctors say Kevin Owens fixed his head with the powerbomb.
I've got good news, everybody. That raises a good point in that they would have to address... Like, they would then have to incorporate him getting cleared into storyline.
I know.
You know, I mean, they could do a silly hold harmless, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But eventually, like, they're going to have to address.
Eventually, he can't sign one for every match.
No.
He's got a tag match on SmackDown in the mid-card. You know, he's got to sign a hold harmless for that
and you
now.
You have a Road Dogg before the match come up to him and say, oh, Daniel Gorilla, you can't go out there yet until you sign
You
got to
sign this again. Exactly.
Another hold harmless. Fine.
Yeah. And then Drake Maverick's trying to recruit him to 205. 1, 2, 3. Did you see last night when he said, that's what I do. I turn positives into negatives.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's the other way around, Drake. He's so great. He's so good, though.
I know.
Like, that whole promo of his was great when he was, like, coming up with, like, the, you know, let's, we're going to do some the number one contender fatal four-way. Just with the biggest smile on his face. I turn positives into negatives. And he's off. And you can tell off camera, he's like, anyways. So, yeah, that's how SmackDown opened with an amazing Daniel Bryan
promo.
Yes,
if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. Next, after commercial break, Daniel Bryan's walking backstage, approached by Little Nate.
Little Nate.
Charles Robinson.
Yeah.
Little Nate says, welcome back. They're interrupted by Dolph, who says, welcome back. Can't wait to beat you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And Daniel Bryan says, you can try.
With a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a rematch from Fastlane. Rusev. It's Rusev versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I like this a lot because it was an inverse of what happened last week. AJ Styles took on Rusev. He beat him. Or no, Aiden English came in.
AJ got Rusev in the calf crusher.
Right. This time, Shinsuke did actually beat Rusev. AJ Styles, the apparent United States champion.
Yeah.
Because on his little...
Yeah, what's up with that graphic?
I don't know, Kevin Dunn. What's going on here, man? He's the world, the WWE champion.
Yeah.
I'm world title.
The belt with the lineage.
I'm not us champion. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I'm Will We champion. Yeah, AJ was sitting ringside.
Yeah, so he's sitting ringside. Nakamura goes over Rusev. It was a decent match.
Yeah, a decent match. Nakamura won with a roll-up. It seems like the ref like counted the three count early, the first kind of roll-up attempt, when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
Or someone was supposed to kick out. Anyway, second roll-up attempt. Nakamura picked up the win. Aiden English and Rusev attack. AJ takes the
very casually
route to getting his vest off, getting involved by that point. Nakamura defended off both
Rusev and Aiden English. I really like this because he was able to do what AJ couldn't do the week before. And he had just the perfect smile for AJ. I mean, it's taken this long. We're 2-3 weeks away from Mania, and they're booking Shinsuke the way that I really like to see him booked. Mm-hmm. You know, like, dude, he can take care of himself.
Yeah.
And I like that. So, yeah, he fends off the attack, and then he gives a big smile to AJ as AJ is just sort of standing there. He's like, well, we're going to help you. But, you know, the obvious thing is he didn't need his help.
After that, we had an Asuka video package, and then we cut directly to Charlotte, apparently watching it on TV backstage. She's approached by Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
They set up a match for later in the evening.
Yes, correct.
Next, AJ's backstage. He's approached by Nakamura, and AJ says, oh, let me guess, you're going to beat me at WrestleMania.
He says, let me guess, you're going to beat me at WrestleMania, and Nakamura says, have a little confidence, AJ.
I know.
He said, but yes.
And the crowd actually, you can hear the crowd laugh at that. It was right, great.
Exactly. He says, but yes, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania with the knee to the face.
Yeah.
I think that was it, but it was good. Oh, okay. Let me address this really quick because I just remembered it. We were talking extensively about what Sasha and Bayley are going to do at Mania.
They're in the Rumble.
Yeah. I forgot about that while we were talking about
that. I didn't know about it during a recap.
She mentioned... Because she called it by the name, and I remember that she used the sad name WrestleMania Women's Rumble. Give it China's name. Give it somebody's name.
Yes.
Now I'm going to do a change.org petition to give it a damn name.
Mm-hmm.
It's generic Women's Rumble. So yeah, they're in the Rumble.
Yeah, I heard that last night during SmackDown. I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, no, I remember I registered it during Raw, but I didn't register it in our endless debate about what the hell they're going to do at Mania.
Oops.
Even though it was right there in front of me. And then
yeah,
we got a bunch
of
tweets.
I didn't notice it on Raw. So
we got a couple tweets saying she said Women's Rumble.
All right.
So
there you go.
There you go. I was wrong. You were wrong. We were all wrong.
So what, Bayley eliminates Sasha last to win WrestleMania Women's Rumble?
And then smirks, maybe? I don't know. I guess. That's underwhelming, though.
Next, Baron Corbin versus Ty Dillinger.
Who?
He's on TV.
He was just chilling. Jay chill. Like, when Baron Corbin came out and Ty Dillinger's in the ring, you know, I was going to lie. I didn't think he was a jobber only because I think it's Anthony F. Snapchatted me and said, and showed me the pic, because he saw before I did. I watched the West Coast feed. And he was like, I honestly thought that was a jobber waiting for Baron.
I did for a second, too.
And when I watched it, I knew exactly why, because he had totally had... He had the jobber entrance, and before I saw a close-up of his face, he had jobber...
like body
posture,
language.
Posture. Body language.
Yes.
He totally did.
Because they did this like over the shoulder of Baron, and you see Ty in
the
background.
Guy milling about.
But it takes a second for it to register as Ty.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, I was like, jobber. Oh, no, that's Ty. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Ty's losing.
Yeah. Man.
And he did pretty quickly.
And he did, and not without a botch.
Yeah, there's a botch on the first end of day's attempt.
Because, like, Ty was supposed to roll in there. Like, he was supposed to, like,
well,
jump
off
in there.
He's jumping. No, well, Ty was jumping off the second rope. Baron was going to catch him.
You're right.
And then transition end of day's, and there was a botch there. And so Baron just threw him out, brought him back in, and then did end of day's.
Yeah. So that was. Unimpressive. Baron's going to be in the
Andre Rumble. The Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
He's
going to
be in the the named Rumble. Next up, we had, man, this is like a top 7 pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's a pay-per-view quality match here.
Match right
it
here.
It was really good.
Charlotte versus Natalya. Because, did we mention this earlier? Natalya was giving Charlotte crap.
Yeah.
What was I doing?
I kept it brief. Charlotte was watching the TV. Natalya came in, set up a match for later on.
Yeah.
Natalya was saying that she should have been the one with the WrestleMania match against Charlotte, not Asuka.
Fine, you can fight me tonight.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is a fantastic match.
It was
all
really
sorts
good.
Of cool stuff going on that, like, you know, I was like, is this like their NXT match? What the heck? This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good stuff. Anyways, it was pretty long, too.
Yeah, they gave it a ton of time.
And then towards the end, when Carmella felt that Charlotte had been plentiful knocked out.
Yeah.
She runs in with her briefcase. Tells the ref, I think she brought Danilo the ref out with her.
Yeah.
And said, I'm cashing in right now. He goes to go talk to the people about cashing in. And meanwhile, Charlotte, who had been apparently playing possum because Carmella sort of gave her a kick to make sure that she was out. As she turned around to cash in, Charlotte got up. Carmella ate a big boot.
Yeah.
And then Natalya got the roll-up win.
Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Since there's a match going on, I need to go back and watch WrestleMania 31 to see how they handle it there. When Money in the Bank is introduced to a match that's already going on, making a triple threat match, does the bell have to ring again? Because that's what Tom Phillips said. He said the bell didn't ring.
Well, they always talk about the bell needing to ring.
But that's restart. That's the start of a new match. Because generally, say, for example, Charlotte won the match, but it was laid out. Carmella comes down. That's a new match that needs to start. This is a match that's already happening.
When Seth came down...
I don't remember if they rang the bell or not.
I don't recall the bell, but did the ring announcer say this is now a triple threat?
I guess so.
I think that might be the equivalent.
All right.
I think a match can change mid-match and not be a new match.
Yes, but it has to be announced.
But it has to be announced.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't recall any announcer saying this is now. I think Danilo was still...
relating that message to the ring announcer. Yeah, probably.
Right, exactly. But no, you're right about the bell ringing. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to ring, but that's just sort of what we know.
In fact, if a bell rang, it would indicate the end of the previous match. Because that's the two times you ring the bell during a match, when it starts and when it ends.
Well,
but if the bell rings in the middle of the match, it means the match, just by definition, I think it means the match is over.
Can one bell signify the end of one match and the beginning of a new match?
That I don't know.
There are too many questions here, man. There's too many questions. I've been watching this wrestling stuff for a very long time. There's too much I don't know.
Oh, Sergio C. says, yes, it was announced. By the commentating team.
Was it announced? Okay, it wasn't. What does that mean? At 31 or last night?
Last night, I think. Well, Jeffrey Nguyen said the bell rang for Seth.
The bell did ring for Seth.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
It's too into the moment that I didn't notice.
Hey, man, we were there.
Yeah, man, that was great.
Yeah, no, we were our heads were exploding at that point.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, come on, Seth, do it. I've never felt so much anxiety over wrestling, like, in a very long time.
Yeah, well, I did when Supreme got set on fire, but that's a different kind of anxiety.
That's I'm about to see a man die anxiety.
Yeah.
That's not fun anxiety.
No.
That's the worst anxiety.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Next, Jimmy Uso versus Dude Harper.
Kicked off with an Usos promo.
Yeah, those guys are so good.
Oh, they're great. They're fantastic. I love them. So we're going to get Jimmy Uso versus Dude Harper. I don't know what it was last night when I saw those fools come out with their giant mallets. I think maybe like because Eric Rowan's costume makes his butt look a lot bigger than I think it actually is. Like,
oh, I don't
it
know.
Really sticks out. It looks kind of like Rikishi.
You know, I kind of wish
he's got big hips.
Rowan would ditch the mask. That's just a leftover from the Wyatt days.
Yeah, I know. Remember when he used to walk around with a sack of masks? That was weird. That was a weird gimmick to give him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The whole thing is a little silly.
I mean, dude, here's the thing. I like the intensity.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I think they can do that intensity without the silly hammer gimmick.
I know.
Just have him be super intense.
I know.
And people who like to destroy people. You don't need the hammers. It's silly.
It's all very silly. It's very silly.
It seems like such a holdover from
I know. Did nobody stop and say, what am I doing? What are you doing with this?
Well, I have to carry this toy hammer everywhere.
Can I not do this? Look at this. This obviously weighs half a pound.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But I really like Luke Harper.
Oh, same here.
And I like the intensity factor.
Yes.
And he beat the crap out of Jimmy Uso. And he won with a discus clothesline, which is great.
Yeah.
So, good for him. But yeah, I don't know. Next week, I'll probably be like, oh, no, I like the Bludgeon Brothers. It's one of those things that I either hate it or love it week to week. I'm sorry. That's just who I am.
What if they, you remember that one promo he delivered like on a Fallout video?
Oh, I loved it.
Where it was very mild-mannered. He was very well-spoken.
This past weekend, I watched some Brody Lee promos.
Yeah.
And he's just like the most normal dude. It's great. Yeah.
Combine that with like outside the ring, that's him. Inside the ring,
yeah.
You know, it's unmatched intensity.
Kind of like what they do with Lars Sullivan a little bit.
Yeah.
Like normal dude, then intense guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Then there'd be some dimension to his character as opposed to guy carrying hammer.
Like, come on, man. This is 2018. They should have done some, like, angle with him where he was getting over being, you know, brainwashed by the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Fascinating story.
Instead of having guys hanging out in the woods with hammers.
And how much people would have really marked out for the emotional bond between him and Eric Rowan. Like when he tries to get Eric Rowan to stop being guy with sack of masks.
Yeah.
With mask sack.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know. There's so many options they could have. What? What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Oh, never mind.
What? You had that look in
Sometimes my brain goes into weird places, man.
All right.
There's nothing bad. I was just looking at the... No, I was
thinking,
looking
over
I was
there.
Thinking of the word mask and then the word sack, and I'm like, there's a lot of similarities there. There's an A, an S, a K.
All right. And that was enough to make you smile. So I saw a little bit of a smile.
I started laughing myself about like the fact that I was thinking about that.
It's weird.
Boy, oh boy.
It's weird. Anyways, next... Jinder Mahal.
That's like something I would think of if I was high, but yeah. I'm not right now. Totally not.
I know. Well, you saw Dude Harper on there, so you're thinking of True Buds.
Yeah. I know, right? I'm just bummed out that they don't do Dude Harper and Eric Rowan like True Buds, man.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start pushing them hardcore.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal promo. God, I love Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has a better face than Jinder.
He has a great face.
That's the thing. And when he smirks and when he gets mad... He's like a Frank Oz creation, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like all over the place. It's great. He's got that great beard. He's awesome. Anyways, he comes out, drops a promo.
Saying about how he's happy he's going to be in the U.S. title triple threat match at Mania.
Yeah.
And kind of berates the crowd for not appreciating him.
Uh-huh.
Out comes Bob Roode.
Yeah.
He says he's going to pin Jinder and reclaim his title
right.
at Mania.
Right.
Randall Orton comes out. Says people don't like you, Jinder, because you suck.
I hate that. That's my least favorite thing when a wrestler says you suck. And it's always the older guys.
Yeah.
Because they can't come up with anything cooler than that.
I know.
It's like, you know what? People hate you. You suck.
Well, you're saying
say something a bit
without
more clever.
The Singh brothers, you suck.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, I like where he's going with that. He's like, because you can't win without him. You suck.
Yeah.
Man, come out with something different.
I know. No, I agree.
It's a little detail.
It seems too easy. So it's anyways, too easy. They all fight a little bit. Jinder takes a draping DDT.
Yeah.
Orton's setting up for an RKO. Bob Roode gets in between them, drops Jinder with the glorious DDT. Randall Orton goes to RKO Bobby. He reverses it. There's a standoff between Bob Roode and Randall Orton in the ring, and then Jinder on the outside.
You know what I really like about that? You know what I like about Bob Roode in this segment? He was smart. He backed himself up into a corner in pounce position to make sure that he wasn't going to get RKO'd or colossed.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like more people need to do that more often.
Yeah.
Because, man, people get like lit up out of nowhere with all sorts of different maneuvers. If you back yourself up into a corner, then you take that element away.
Yeah, so long as it's in a corner where you could observe people out of your periphery.
Right,
in this case, exactly. Jinder, who's on the outside.
Yeah. I loved it, man. Then Jinder pointed at the Mania sign. This is gonna be my the best match in the pre-show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really hope they don't
pre-show main event.
I really hope they don't put the cruiserweight.
Oh, I know that should kick off the main card.
That should kick off the main card. I am so overwhelmingly happy for both the guys in that match.
I know.
Like talk about the most. We'll talk about it tomorrow on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the main event for 205 Live this past week.
Do you know who wins?
Yeah.
Okay. The emotion involved in both those guys going to Mania. Like, that's the match that kind of matters to the participants the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else who's going to Mania kind of knows, oh, I got my ticket punched. Or if you're one of the Battle Royals, it's like, yeah, who cares? I'm in a Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
But for these two guys to get that spotlight, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great.
That's why I definitely hope it's on the main card.
I can't wait till you watch that match. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show to talk about it.
Yeah. Next, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan of Riot Squad against Naomi and Becky Lynch. This is a very short match.
Yeah, it was short. It was kind of whatever. I mean, they're all just going to the Battle Royal, so it doesn't matter at this point.
Sarah Logan tapped out to the disarm her.
Yeah, it was a cool little bit, but whatever. and then Daniel Bryan was backstage, and then some guy comes up to him and says, hey.
Hey, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are here because he made a point. Daniel Bryan did at the open the show, says, I need to talk to him, but they're not here yet, so we're going to have to wait on that.
Yeah. Then Daniel Bryan comes out and drops a promo.
Says, come on out, Owens and Zayn. They do so.
And they congratulate him. They both hug him. And that seemed totally real. And that and you know he got hugged in the back.
Yeah.
But for them to do it in front of everybody.
Yeah, something else to do it in front of the crowd, I know.
That's real shit right there.
I know.
That's real shit, and I love
seeing it. And sort of like all the stuff Daniel Bryan said felt real.
Yeah, I know. I know, exactly. And he laid it out perfectly, and he said he showed the clip of Shane getting...
And he used the logic that we did. He said, you guys won.
Yes!
He was leaving.
Why did you do it?
He was leaving. You got what you wanted. You kept your job, and you got Shane McMahon out of here, and yet you felt the need to beat up your boss.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
He said, I've known you guys for 15 years. You know, I've had your back. I've supported you. I've made sure that you weren't fired,
that
you had opportunity.
You had a match set at Mania. Could you imagine?
10 years ago, yeah.
10 years ago, when we were in front of 300 people at an armory, would you ever have imagined you would have had a match at WrestleMania?
And then both Owens and Zayn were like, oh, yeah, we screwed up.
And it was great. And their performance was great because they were like, yeah, you're right. We messed.
Yeah.
And he says, look, I've been fired twice and I came back better. You're both fired.
Yeah, I don't want to do this. This isn't the end. This doesn't say you can't ever come back, but... You're fired.
You're fired, exactly.
And he extends his hand.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn shakes it. And while Sami Zayn shakes it, you see Kevin Owens just balling up his fist.
Oh, man, yeah.
He's getting enraged.
Yeah.
He shakes Daniel Bryan's hand.
Yeah.
Right as Owens and Zayn are about to leave, Owens turns around and starts attacking Daniel Bryan, shouting at him, it's all your fault. This is your fault.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, once again, not taking responsibility for his own actions.
Exactly, yeah.
And they proceed to beat the heck out of him. Daniel Bryan gets the upper hand. We get to see a couple corner drop kicks.
Oh, and they were beautiful. They were so beautiful. They were so beautiful.
He has not lost a step.
He has not lost a step. He got so high up in the air, And they were beautiful.
He was doing it in a blazer, too. A sports coat. He's dropping some yes kicks.
Oh, man.
Crisp, fast.
And the crowd was eating it up, and there were yes kicks. The yes kicks were beautiful, and you're just sitting there thinking. And there was that one shot where he gets up, and his hair is all mussed, and he's all, like, just
intense.
Murder face.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it was beautiful.
He's about to hit the last yes kick, gets interrupted by one of them. They get the upper hand again. Owen sets him up in a corner. Zayn hits him with a Huluva kick.
Yeah.
They're not done. Take him to the outside. Apron powerbomb.
Apron powerbomb. Oh, it was beautiful. It was so amazing. It was great. Oh, man. They put him on a stretcher.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was it.
So next week, he's going to be angry Daniel Bryan. He's going to call him out, set up the match at Mania. Him and Shane versus Owens and Zayn.
It was beautiful. Welcome back, Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
It's so, man.
It's great to have
him
back.
It's so, did you see the picture I put up of us from the last, the episode where we talked about his retirement? Man, things have changed here.
Yeah, the set looks different. We actually have two of these mics instead of one.
I know. You had like the lav mic.
Yeah.
And I had just this without the thing. That was weird. Yeah, that was funny.
Come a long way in a couple years.
We've come a long. I know it's been neat. I like to reminisce. I know you're not a sentimentalist.
Well, not being sentimental doesn't mean it's not fun to go back and look at how we've evolved.
It is. It really is. It's neat. My hair is all weird and long back then. Not doing that again. Whenever I see pictures of that, I'm like, no, dude, I'm going to keep on.
If you part it like you do now, it'd be fine.
No, it won't.
It's because you're parting it down the middle.
It wouldn't be. Now, if you look at it, it looks all greasy and nasty and stuff. No, I'm going to stick with the number 3 around the sides and back.
All right. I have to cut my hair. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Anyways, want to answer some questions?
Yeah, man. Let's answer some questions.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. Well, that Daniel Bryan segment definitely had me teary-eyed. And with that being said, what was the last moment in wrestling to have either one of you guys get a little teary?
Ooh, good question.
I remember when Daniel Bryan had to retire.
It might have been that. I'm trying to think if anything has happened. What's happened since then? Honestly, I got... Well, that was after that. But I started to get a little teary-eyed when at the end of the main event on 205 Live last night.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit because, man, I was thinking, God, for those guys who, man, they talk about deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They just plain deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Gulak was great last night.
Yeah.
Anyways. I don't know. Let's see here. Alex Foster said he got emotional when Ray. Let's see what other people say. What do you guys in chat say? When's the last time you guys... I didn't really get teary-eyed when Edge retired. Oh, yeah. Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't really think of any other
ones. Trying to think of... Karen says when Asuka had to relinquish her NXT title.
Oh, I got a little teary. I got a little bit teary for that. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't like bawling, but man, I got teary. That's a good one.
Kyle Young says, when the Golden Lovers reunited.
When I saw how perfectly they packaged Aleister Black, that made me cry. Because, good Lord, that packaging is great. Alex Foster does have a good question here. In kayfabe, why is nobody stopping these beatdowns?
Well, sometimes it happens, but it seems so inconsistent.
It is inconsistent.
Sometimes security be sent out to stop these beatdowns or the locker room be sent out to stop these beatdowns, and sometimes it doesn't happen. Maybe if Shane were there last night, he would stop.
Oh, he definitely would have. Shane would have done it. But, yeah, I mean, okay.
Oh, sorry, let me interrupt you. Karen, when Shibata came back and says, I'm alive, that is all.
Oh, yeah, but that, for me, that was spoiled because of Lariato.
No.
Or whoever does, you know, the gifs. Like, when gifs can't really make me cry, dude.
Anyways, continue.
I'm trying to think of other allies that Daniel Bryan would have in the back that could like just come and help him out. Any of the face, like, where's Bob Roode? He's a face, kind
of. What about Nakamura?
Yeah, what about Nakamura?
I would have got him hugely over.
You know, I'm okay. I know WWE has a weird thing about that. That is, they have a weird thing about crossing stories.
Sometimes.
They're not in their own universes.
I know.
You can have a guy who likes Daniel Bryan back there and have nothing to do with his story come out and...
especially someone in the case of Nakamura, where you know that match is going to happen at some point.
I know.
Lay the groundwork for their relationship now.
Yeah, and he's got motivation, and you don't have to go any further past, look, I want to make sure that he's not going to get messed up again.
Yeah.
You know, I want a match with him.
And he'll get a massive, massive pop for Nakamura, too.
But, oh, one thing we forgot to talk about, the heat on Owens and Zayn as they beat him down.
Oh, I know.
That crowd was furious. That was some heavy heat,
man.
That was fantastic.
I know.
That was so well done.
Regular Trevor says, no question, just want to say that I cried.
That's awesome. That's great, man. That's when wrestling's at its best.
Piggy Carnage, what's the kayfabe reason AJ got a match with Shane at WrestleMania for beating his ass, but Sammy and Kevin got fired?
Well, you know, different set of circumstances.
Yeah.
Different set of... I'm sure if Shane McMahon was in the building, if he was there and not, you know, still going in labor or whatever, he probably would have demanded to fight them at Mania.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan was his pride. Daniel Bryan's not going to say... You guys are going to fight Shane at Mania.
Yeah, because
we saw what just happened.
Shane has leave of absence right now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here.
KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed, power rank, top five opponents Daniel should avoid for now, not named Seth Rollins.
That's funny. Should avoid for now?
Yeah. Nicholas Growth Curse says good. Brock.
Oh, God, yeah. Brock? I'm trying to think who else. I feel like Jinder. Jinder's a bit on the stiff. He's not the most graceful guy
in
the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want people who you can be graceful with.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Finn's a pretty graceful wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, Finn's not going to injure anybody.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really have a high-impact moveset.
Right, exactly.
Especially for the head area.
Facha, yeah, for the head.
Head area.
Yeah. What is this, the kibasa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably Aleister Black for a little bit.
Aleister Black for a little bit.
Not that he's had a reputation for being dangerous or anything, but it's just a lot of kicks to the head.
He can feud with Roman.
Yeah.
Roman's not, he's not going to injure anybody. He's got a crappy Superman punch and a crappy spear.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan versus Braun.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Cuddles him.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking straight, because we have a countout this weekend.
Yes.
Top 10
matches.
Feuds we want to see.
Yeah,
we want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forget if Braun's on the list.
No.
But, like, he cradles you.
Yeah.
Cradles you.
Braun seems like a safe worker.
Yeah.
Backstage cake boy, Ivan Ramos. Now that Sammy and Kevin are unemployed, what job not related to wrestling do you think they could get? I mean, Sammy's a decent dancer.
Yeah, backup dancer. I was thinking the same thing. Backup dancer. I'm trying to think what other skills Kevin Owens has.
I mean, he could be like a bouncer.
A strip club bouncer. Like, every wrestler was like a strip club bouncer.
Seems that way.
Back in the day, anyways.
Giving pop-up power bombs to people getting out of line.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that'd be great.
Again, getting back to moves that you can do in bars.
Yes.
He can do it. He can drop a starship paint on somebody. Let's see here.
Oh, this is interesting. Richard Nason, the camera failed to ever show AJ walking. Is that an attempt at covering up the injury?
Well, we saw him. I mean, there was no full body walks, but
yeah.
We saw him walk backstage.
Yeah.
I was paying attention to when
yeah,
he was
too,
doing stuff. Tommy T has a question. He says, watching Daniel Bryan enter, I realize that no one else in the WWE is truly over. Even Finn and Seth barely get a reaction coming out. My question is, why is that? I just don't mean in comparison to Bryan. I mean, in general, they get a small pop at best. Seth gets a decent reaction.
Yeah, he gets a good pop. So does Finn. AJ gets a good
pop.
But
I kind of see his point. There's nobody who even comes close to a Daniel Bryan-level pop.
No.
And that's kind of a problem. You kind of need that.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, I mean, he's a next-level, relatable, charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm. I think his relatability is what really pushes him over the top.
Who puts it all in the ring.
Yep.
And that is something that it's really difficult to just have. But here's the thing. So few people throughout the history of wrestling have had that. You look in the mid-aughts. I mean, Cena for a time, when Cena was hot.
Yeah.
He had that. But beyond that, like, really? Did anybody else
It's like a once-in-a-generation
thing. It really is. I mean, a once-in-a-generation
thing. It's a rare thing when you have someone like Stone Cold and The Rock who are wrestling at the same time who get that same reaction.
It's so rare. It's so very rare.
The real Rich Hardesty. Does Daniel Bryan stay as GM, if not power rank replacements?
Paige. People love Paige, man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And people would tune in to see Paige, man, I think.
Sting.
You know what would be, Sting. Like, Sting. I still wish we got it, like, a getting to know you period with Kurt Angle, where he was like, okay, who are you again?
Oh, I know. That was good, that one episode they did that.
Yeah, that's right. Episode. Yeah. I wanted that to continue.
Larson's Black Cat Stepfather. Hey, friendos, do you think the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal should get a title shot at either the Intercontinental or U.S. title and have it become the mid-card Royal Rumble of sorts? Thanks. It'd be cool if there was some reward for it other than a giant trophy.
Yeah, I know, because it really didn't do much for Mojo, did it? I mean, I think they sort of storyline opened up some opportunities. You know, you're able to say, hey, I won this, so can I have that? And usually they're like, yeah, sure. But I think in Mojo's case, it was like, you know, yeah, you get a shot at a guy, and then if you win against that guy, you get a shot at, you know, a title.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't, whatever.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot going on there. Prestige associated with winning that battle.
Yeah, why not? Give him a crap mid-card shot. Who cares?
Yeah.
It would
differentiate it, I guess, enough from the Rumble itself getting a world title shot.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is a good question. We haven't really talked about this. Breeze Melon. Are we going to get Demon Balor at Mania? I feel like no. Right?
I don't think so.
Wouldn't he want to put all his chips in on this Intercontinental match?
Well, hold on.
What?
Recall our Balor power rankings. What is top Balor?
Well, Gray Balor.
Yeah, it's come out as Gray Balor.
We might need to revisit that, though, man. I know he beat Bray. But he beat Bray.
He's 1-0 as Gray Balor. He hasn't lost. He's undefeated. He's lost as Demon Balor before.
Okay. All right.
So until he loses as Gray Balor, he's number one. Jerome Murray.
You know the thing about Gray, too? Wait, no. Which color is all the colors combined? Isn't it black, I guess?
Well, it depends when you're talking about, like, paint, yes. Light, it's white.
Okay.
All colors of light together is white light.
That's so weird.
I know. You're thinking about astronomy class, aren't you?
I am thinking of our astronomy class. That's when we bonded, man.
Yep. Jerome Murray, was there any part of you that felt nervous every time his head would go near the mat or whenever he was in the middle of a beatdown from KO and Sammy?
Okay, so this is a really good question.
It is.
The reason why is, are we all freaking out for nothing? If he hits his head bad and he gets another concussion...
Is he going to have to retire again, essentially?
Isn't he now in sort of this... Can they relook at Corey? Can they say, Corey Graves, go get in a hyperbaric chamber?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there a whole new science behind this now?
I don't know.
Where they can change... They're going to change their protocols? Because... excuse me. If his brain is indeed, like Daniel Bryan has said, better than like a normal person at his age...
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean that he's kind of in the clear, like...
Well, at least...
Concussion-wise? Like, if he hits his head, like... I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, people take bumps all the time. For some reason, he just took a couple of bad ones. I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, I mean, it's a thing where if you have a concussion, you're more susceptible to them.
Okay, yeah.
And I think he said he had, what, 10 or 12
right.
documented ones?
Yeah.
And it was towards the end he started getting seizures and stuff like that, or he had seizures. Which we saw this past season of the NFL where Tom Savage got concussed and he's having a seizure in the end zone.
Yeah.
The rest of them still play because they didn't see it for some reason anyways.
The hyperbaric chamber thing, did it, like, rejuvenate his brain?
Maybe.
Well, I have no idea about any of this stuff.
He's talked about that. He's talked about his diet.
But should we be on pins and needles? Or is he in sort of this...
I think it's human nature when you hear about a guy whose brain...
Oh, no, I know. It is. And we are. We're going to be.
May have been so injured that he was forced to retire, and then now he's seemingly fine.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. Sort of like, you know, granted, a brain injury is more severe than a knee injury.
Yeah.
When Seth came back from blowing out his knee, it took us a while, and still, to a certain extent, I still get a little anxious whenever he does some sort of move where he puts a lot of impact on his knees.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to take some getting used to.
I know. I look, we're going to be on pins and needles. Mm-hmm. That's natural. Everybody's going to be. Everybody was tweeting about that last night.
Yeah.
I totally was. I know you were too. But like scientifically, and given what they do now with tests and stuff, like, do we can we ease up a little bit? Can we relax a little bit? Like, do we have scientific reason to relax?
Well, here's the problem. There's,
even if human
there's,
nature, we don't.
I think there's so little known still about how the brain reacts to concussions long term.
Right. Yeah.
That, I mean, right now someone could say, yeah, his brain seems fine. He's in the clear. And then 30 years later, you find out, no.
Yeah, right.
There's some degenerative thing. That's the thing with like CTE is that, you know, symptoms don't necessarily express themselves in the midst of your football career. It's 10, 20 years down the line.
Yeah, right, right.
So.
Well, it'll be interesting.
It will be.
As long as, I mean, here's the thing. That this is the thing that I kind of want for Daniel Bryan. I want all of his matches, every match that he has from now on, to really kind of mean something.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So I want to act as if he's like a special thing, because he kind of is.
Yeah, he is.
But he can be a full-time storyline guy.
Yeah.
And
just makes his singles matches feel
make
special.
His singles matches matter.
Like Okada.
Like Okada, yeah.
Kenny Omega,
exactly.
Where they can wrestle, you know, on the road to shows, they wrestle in tag matches, but they only wrestle singles matches at the major
and
shows.
And they can do some comedy stuff. You know, I'm sure Daniel Bryan would love to do some comedy. There's that.
Do you see that thing where he kind of balled himself up?
The Lake of something or another?
Lady in the Lake.
Lady
I think
in the Lake.
Was called. And I think it was Tyson Kidd that was trying to pin him. But his shoulders were never down.
Yeah.
And so he got in a position where he actually rolled him back, and then Daniel Bryan transitioned into a roll-up stuff.
I know. Like in a Samiano type match.
I know.
Be great. Because Kenny Omega likes doing that stuff, you know? So, yeah. Let's see here. Any more questions? A lot of people asking us to power rank opponents, and like I said, we've got to count out.
Wait till Saturday.
Yeah. Where's my title? Bit of an esoteric question.
Who asked that?
Where's my title?
Oh. I thought that was a question.
No. This fool has his plan. Who's on first? Where's my title is the name of the guy.
Okay.
SmackDown was amazing. Does Daniel Bryan being cleared make SmackDown the A show?
Yeah, it helps. It needs more consistent creative. And then, yeah, the potential is there. The talent's there. The talent is always there.
I marked out a little bit when Sami Zayn was saying, doesn't Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Daniel Bryan sound like a great team?
A dream team.
And I was like, yeah, dream team. And I was thinking to myself, a heelish Daniel Bryan with those guys.
Got a good point.
Oh, yes.
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 But they're going to have to give that like at least a year.
Oh, longer than that.
And he'd still be massively over.
Oh, yeah.
Good question here. Eric, the base hit King Blaha. Name one wrestler that does Lost His Mind better than Kevin Owens.
Oh, wow.
It feels like he has split personalities when he does that.
It kind of does. Like the Festival of Friendship, he had like that. He was like disassociating himself.
Yeah.
He could see it.
He does that so well.
I know.
He does that so well.
He didn't quite do that last night, but you can tell, you know, when Daniel Bryan was trying to shake his hands, you see his fist ball up. And he was just waiting.
Did you see the post video for the Mixed Match Challenge last night with Braun and Alexa?
Oh, where they almost kissed?
They almost kissed, and then a fan comes up.
Yeah.
And Braun just storms off. Instead of lighting up the fan, he just says, ugh, and walks away, and that moment's over. What a great mini storyline. God damn it, the Mixed Match Challenge is great. I don't know. Like Thayer at the Body here mentions Brian Pillman for doing like the crazy guy stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like he does that very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was always fun to watch Stone Cold go
I was going
to
bring that up too. But there was always a certain level of intensity to him that he never really dropped from. Whereas Kevin Owens could be seemingly at zero.
Yeah, right.
And then suddenly be completely enraged.
Stone Cold's nickname for the rattlesnake was so perfect
because
you're always kind of freaked out, even when he was being totally cool and happy
always
with you.
Always coiled up, ready to strike.
And then he would drop you with a stunner there.
Exactly.
It was great.
I'm trying to think of anybody else. It's like Baron's good when he loses his mind. But again, he's always at a certain level of intensity.
Yeah, right.
He always seems he's on the verge of losing his mind.
Who, Baron?
Yeah. Take how he talks out of the equation.
Yeah. He always seems like he's on the verge of being offended by somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's being on edge.
Hey. Yeah. Anyways, let's do some chat. Let's do some trivia.
You may have had these cards already. It's entirely possible. Let's start with Attitude Era. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
I don't think we've had this one before. I'll start.
I have. Go ahead.
Who won the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17?
The gimmick battle royal. Oh, man. Was it the gobbledygooker?
No.
No?
Iron Sheik.
Break a bank. Make your humble. Remember when he was funny for a second? And then there that picture of him with a big old heart on. taking down Hogan.
When he dropped the title to Hogan.
Hogan, I am very erect. Make your humble. Big events. What general manager introduced Raw Roulette to the WWE Universe in Las Vegas on October 7th, 2002?
Bischoff.
Very good. He loves motorcycles.
It's true. Apparently also gambling.
Break on a bank.
What superstar defeated The Rock in an empty arena match that aired on Mankind. The USA? It says Mick Foley, but I'll accept Mankind.
Wasn't he dolled up as Mankind?
Yeah, he was.
I think it was. Championships. Who? Here, I'll do this in a voice. Who, at Unforgiven 1999, won a six-pack challenge for the WWE title Vince McMahon vacated?
I guess I'll say Stone Cold.
Yeah, I find it funny that you wouldn't think it was the game, Triple H.
Well, that's before his Reign of Terror, so. What superstar would bring a mop named Moppy to the ring with him during 2001?
P.S. Perry Saturn.
Yes.
Superstar bio. What Samoan superstar delighted fans when he'd do in-ring dances with his giant asshole with the tag team Too Cool?
That would be Rikishi.
Correct.
What legend, former NWA Intercontinental Champion, did Chris Jericho defeat at Backlash 2009?
Steamboat.
Yep.
Big events in the modern era.
Modern era.
Who did Undertaker defeat in a casket match at WrestleMania 22, running his undefeated streak at WrestleMania to 14-0?
Is it Mark Henry?
Yeah, he's great, man. He's going at Hall of Fame, and then I'm going to face John Cena. Hours of Darkness.
Legacy. Who defeated Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental Championship in his first match on Raw in 2008 after jumping from ECW?
When? What year? 2008?
Yeah.
Weird WWE ECW. RVD?
Kofi Kingston.
Oh. He was in ECW first?
Yeah, I guess so.
Weird. Championships. What French-Canadian diva was a two-time WWE Divas Champion and now it's going to be the mother of the Mrs. Babies?
That'd be Maurice.
Mother. It's mother.
What powerful WWE diva was known as the Glamazon?
Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
Superstar bio. Which of the following names was not a member of the Spirit Squad? Mikey, Kenny, Billy, Mitch.
Billy?
Very good. You win. One more than I do.
Where's that Nakamura card I saw in here?
Nakamura. Yes, John Morrison was an ECW Kevin Jenkins. He was their ECW champion.
He was. No, I can't find it.
One thing we forgot to mention. You know, we're on the patreon.com/StephenLarson.
Perfect.
We got 66 P. Oh! Whoa! Let me see that. What is this card from? It's a new. We have New Japan cards?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a Nakamura one in there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
I know. It's great. Bullet Club Hunter, Yoshitatsu.
Oh, man.
That's my reward for the day. I earned that.
Good job.
Hooray for me. Yeah.
Good job.
Wait, what were you going to say?
What was I going to say?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Well,
I asked you what you were going to say.
Anyways. That's it for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. Oh, Hilton, come on, man. Get some music going. Look at these shirts here.
I find it funny you wouldn't buy the colorful shirt.
You could buy it now, but just wait a couple weeks.
Just tranquilo. Just wait. A couple weeks. Save some money.
We'll
put
let
that
you
money
know.
Into something else.
We'll remind you they're for sale. Don't worry about
oh,
that.
Oh, we're going to be, yeah.
Don't worry
last
about
year's
that.
WrestleMania sale, whoo, what a boon.
I'm going to try to get two designs ready for Mania sale.
Hey, you know what I might do?
If it happens.
So we have a new logo coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to debut it on the WrestleMania recap show,
mm-hmm.
but that's going to be like after the sale or the tail end of the sale. How about we debut it for the sale?
All right, that sounds good.
We'll have like a couple of logo, new logo shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll debut it. And then, like, we'll put the actual...
Try to get a real shirt going, too.
There you go.
I have an idea.
All right, cool. Anyways, that's it for the show. Hilton, let's get some music. Thank you, Hilton. That's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.